Isaiah. So we'll be reading this morning, Isaiah chapter 40. It's in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll read the last several verses, beginning in verse number 28. Read all the way through verse number 31. Be reading these scriptures responsively this morning. I'll begin reading in verse 28. You'll join me on verse 29 and so on through verse 31. Isaiah chapter number 40, beginning in verse number 28. The Bible says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for the promises that you give us in your word. Lord, we thank you for being faithful to us. Lord, we thank you that there's never been a time in our life where we've been obedient to you, that we've been lacking. And Lord, this morning, many are needy, many are hurting and discouraged. Now, Lord, please take the truth that has been prepared for us from your word and speak to our hearts, your people. Lord, please use your man of God to fill him with your Holy Spirit's power and to speak to our hearts and do something you cannot do. Lord, please touch and change and encourage this morning. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
We have this idea that as we get older, that our strength is supposed to be as strong as it always was. We think we have a never-ending supply of strength. That comes partly because we have this mindset because of sin that we are our own God. Did you know that God is what they call omnipotent? Means all powerful. And man, because of our pride, man, because of our sin, and man, because we want to be like God, think that our strength never gives out. Well, may I say this, the older we get, the more power we realize we don't have in the tank. As I've gotten older, from here up, I'm as strong as I've ever been. From there down, it is a whole different world. I have to constantly remind myself I'm not 22 years old anymore. Now, I still go a little harder than most people my age. I realize I get a little bit more oomph in the engine than some, but it still gives out, just so you know. It reminds me almost daily, it takes a little more time to recover than it did before. It takes a little longer to recharge than before. I'm not able to sustain the strength and have the stamina I once had. Now, I still put a pretty aggressive schedule together. It's still not unusual for me to work 70, 80 hours a week. It's not unusual at all. As a matter of fact, that's a normal week for me. I've been here at the church for about six and a half hours already this morning. I got here at 5 o'clock this morning. That's not unusual for me. Maybe for some, may not be for others. Others can go a lot harder. That's fine. I'm not in a competition with anybody. But may I say this, as a human being, Brother Mike, at 52 years old, it's a little harder to get up each and every day. It's not as hard to go down every day. It's a little harder getting up. Fighting gravity at this age is harder than it used to be. Now, I'm glad God does not get old. Amen. I'm glad God does not get weak. May I say this? I'm glad that God does not have to renew his strength. I want you to notice in Isaiah 40, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. That's you, you pipsqueak. And the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May I say something? God not only does not get tired, but God is the source of all strength. I'm glad that God is the source of strength. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 121, verse number 3, that God does not slumber nor sleep. Now, I don't do a whole lot of it, but he doesn't do any of it. Let me put it in a way that I think that you all will understand, and I'll use an illustration that may be trite to some of you, but boy, is it powerful. Our strength is like the battery in your cell phone. You can use it and use it and use it and use it, but you got to recharge it every day. Sometimes you got to charge it midway through the day, depending on how busy you are on your phone. But even if you don't use it, and you can go every 2 or 3 days, that's fine, but it still has to get plugged in and recharged. And your battery is much like your life, your strength is much like the battery life of your cell phone. It has to be constantly recharged so that it can be used. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, here's the difference. God's like the power plant, supplying the energy to every home and every place you're at to plug it in. He's not just the plug, he's the power supply for everywhere you are at and for everyone. See, God can recharge my battery, but he can charge yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and everybody. He can charge them all at the same time because he is the power source for everybody. He's not just the plug in the wall. He is the power plant supplying all the power necessary to recharge your strength. Now, may I say this? The older your cell phone gets, the more it needs recharged more often. Here's what I have found in 30 years of the ministry. Here is what I have found in 39 years of preaching. Most people don't know where to plug in the battery to get recharged. Let me explain. It seems like they have to be constantly being plugged in and they're too weak to do too much. There seem to be few people who truly know how to recharge properly to keep a constant charge. May I see your phone quick? I know you got it on you because I got mine and I didn't ask him. Some phones, these don't, have what they call a quick charge, and you can swipe it over top of it and you can charge, take the charge from one and put to the other. But guess what? That doesn't last very long. You may get a little energy from that, but it's not going to fully charge yours and fully charge the one that it came from. Whew, glad he caught that. Glad I taught you how to play ball. Now, most people don't recharge their life correctly. And we wonder why we run around with no strength. Now, let me say something here. We all get weak. We all get faint. You don't have, you're not the Energizer Bunny that just keeps going and going and going and going and going. You're going to have to recharge the battery. By the way, ever ready doesn't mean eternal. Ever ready's wear out too, trust me. God tells us, though, that he can renew our strength. He can recharge our strength. He can give strength to those who are weary. He can give strength to those who are faint. And today I want to talk to you about this. I am excited about it. And I want to help you. Many, 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 many people in this room are hardworking people. Many people in this room, you have burdens and heartaches. Many people in this room, you have things that are drawing strength away from you that you wish were not drawing. You have family members who are disappointing you and it's drawing strength away from you. You know, you can have your phone turned off, but you have certain applications or apps on your phone that'll drain the battery even though you're not using it because it's being used without you knowing that it's being used. Your GPS system on your phone is much like that. As you move around, it's draining your battery that way. There's other apps that are very much like that. And the same is true in life. Even though it may not be on your radar screen right now, it's bothering you because it's being used and being pulled from you. I want you to notice something. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Now everybody look at me for a moment. I'm gonna touch on this tonight in a different way. We have redefined certain words. And we have changed the meaning of words to the point where what we think isn't what the real word really is. For instance, the word gay used to mean happy. It doesn't mean that anymore. We have changed what the word used to mean. It doesn't change the meaning of the word, but we have perverted it to mean something that it does not mean in its original. The Bible says here, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Waiting on God doesn't mean you just sit there and you wait for God to do something. I'm going to wait. I'm waiting. Fellas, it's not like waiting for your wife or children to get ready for church. And you're sitting in the driveway honking the horn saying, "Hurry up!" Well, just because you left her with six kids to get ready, you got yourself ready. That's a big accomplishment, but she had a little more to do. But that's not even the waiting that God's talking about there. How many of you have ever eaten in a restaurant? Raise your hand. All right, virtually everybody here. Some of you eat there five times a day. And I'm talking a restaurant where you go in and sit down and someone serves you. Your server is called a waitress or a waiter. Oh. If you went to the restaurant and sat down and someone is supposed to serve your table and nobody came to your table to take your order, to fill your drink, to put your silverware down, to get your food for you, you wouldn't go back there and eat. I'm not talking about a buffet where you buffet your own body, all right? I'm talking about a sit-down restaurant. No. There is a server there, there is a waiter or a waitress there who comes and fills your glass with water, finds out what else you want to drink. They'll take your order, they take the order back to the kitchen or the galley, they fill the order back there, they bring it back out, they put it at your table, make sure your drinks are constantly being filled, make sure your food is done right, make sure that you have all the things that you're supposed to have, and they are waiting on you. God says, not those that sit on their blessed assurance doing nothing, they don't get strength. But they that wait upon the Lord, those that serve the Lord, those that are in church, those that are helping with things that they can do, and those that are passing out their tracts and witnessing and reading their Bible and praying and tithing and doing the things God asked us to do. We do what we can. God takes care of what we cannot do. And it is they that serve the Lord, they get their strength renewed. Everybody doing okay? Not those that sit on their blessed assurance. Now, I'm not mad. I'd rather you be here than not be here at all. Because at least God has a chance. But may I say this, the more you do, the more strength you get. If no strength is used, none is needed to be replaced. You have to use what strength you have in order to plug in to be recharged. If you use no strength, no recharging is needed. Boy, that's a big statement right there. You see, being able to lift weights and show off all your muscles, and I'm not going to take my coat off so that I show you, doesn't do anything for you unless you use those for hard work. You see, it is not the going to the gym and sitting down watching everybody exercise that gives you strength. It's getting out there and working that gives you strength. That's what Philippians 4:13 is all about. Philippians 4:13. Take your Bible, turn there. Let me show you something. Some of you look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Notice what God says in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not who strengtheneth me. God says, I can do all things. And in the doing of all things, it strengthens me. It doesn't say, I can do it if God gives me strength. He says, no, you go use all your strength and I'll recharge you so you can do it again. Too many people want the strength before they go out and do. God says, go out and do. I'll recharge your strength. Folks, it's very simple. Our bodies are made the same way. Did you know if you do nothing, you do not get strong? You have to do something in order to get strong. You get strong by using strength. Whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, you get stronger by using those things. I laugh a lot in life. May I tell you why? Because I grieve a lot in life. I face bad news virtually every day of my life. But I don't let that be the only emotion I use. Therefore, I laugh a lot. I get stronger by using the grief than I would had I not had the grief. Let me illustrate it this way. I get strong so I can help you carry your burdens. And I get the news, it's cancer. I get the news, this person's died. I get the news, have this disease. Get the news, somebody threw up all over me. No, I get all the bad news and all of the heartaches and all of the burdens. I get the news like I did this morning that somebody's young person ran away from home. I get the news like that and my heart hurts. But may I say this? I've been doing it long enough, it doesn't wear me down. It strengthens me to help someone else. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In helping him with his burden, actually I should be helping her because he's her burden, but in helping someone else bear their burden, guess what? Not only do they get strong, but I get stronger. Here's what happens. He has a problem. I have a problem. But I'd rather sit here in my problem because I'm so concerned about my problem that I don't care about his problem, and I wonder why this problem overwhelms me. So what I must do is get up off my blessed assurance go help him with his problem. Once we get his problem fixed, I come back here and say, well, I'm still staying. I might as well just pick it up. I'm strong enough to pick it up. Then he has a problem. I go help him with his problem. Guess what? I'm still carrying my burden, but it's not quite as heavy as it used to be. And in the process of helping everybody else carry their burdens, I have gotten strong enough to carry mine. It doesn't work just for the preacher. It works for everybody. Thanks, Brother Josh. You can have a seat. Ooh, I just about took a tumble there. So, what is physical therapy? Physical therapy is you start moving muscles not to build a great physique, to get strength enough to be able to do it so you can keep doing it on your own. Debbie Tharp had her knee replaced on Friday. She was up sitting in a chair before 7 o'clock Saturday morning texting me. And she said, physical therapist is on his way. I said, no, it's physical terrorist. And she said, that's more like it, but we're going to do it. But I got to tell you a blessing. She said, preacher, I had my other knee done, and boy, did it hurt real bad. She said, I'm saved and something's different. She said, I wasn't worried. I went through surgery. And I'm feeling better. She said, pain level's at a 5. Every time before, it's been at 10 plus. She said, God's doing something. I said, because you got saved and you have a family of God praying for you, look what God's doing. She said, oh, I'm ready. She said, I can literally feel the difference. And I said, that's because you're doing it God's way. I said, but that doesn't mean you can cheat on your exercises. I said, you got to do them. She said, oh, I know. She said, my problem is I do too many and the doctor gets mad at me. I said, I'd rather do too many than not enough, but just do what you're told to do. You say, what is that? You're exercising that. Whether it be emotions, whether it be burdens, whether it be physical things, whether it be spiritual things. There are people in this room, Christianity is new to you, and the slightest little thing upsets you, that's okay. Those of us who are grizzled old veterans, it doesn't bother us too much. We've been at this long enough, we understand what's coming next. We've been down this path heretofore. It's okay. In war, some of you men and ladies have been in military and been at battle. You get the greenhorn in there, it's his first battle. You're used to the bullets going zing, 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 zing around. First time they hear it, it's freaking them out. You say, oh, it's okay. The ones you hear, don't worry about. It's the ones you don't hear that you worry about. Where do the statements like that come? Because somebody's been in the battle long enough to understand it's not the ones that you hear to worry you, it's the ones that you don't hear. So, strength has to be used before it can be renewed. You have to use up your strength before you can be recharged. Let me ask you a question. How can God recharge you if you didn't use what God gave you? You can plug your phone in at 100% charge. It's not doing it any good. You have to use it up before it gets recharged. God says, I want you to use what energy you have, then I will recharge you. But until you empty yourself, it does no good. Because just being plugged in doesn't do it much good. You've got to expend the energy. Boy, that's a good statement. Number two, are you ready? We're going to use our Bibles just a little bit here. People plug into the wrong power source. People often plug into the wrong power source. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I'm going to show you some things here that God says, not that the preacher says. And I want to show you what he has to say, because what he has to say is far better than what I can say. Psalm 84, look at verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appears before God. Notice what it says. They go from strength to strength. Too many people go from strong thing to strong thing, but they don't fill up their or recharge their battery. I'm not going to ask Brother, I'll ask Miss Sherry. Her phone could be at 100% charge. I know Brother Larry's not because he never uses his. He just leaves it run out. But her phone could be at 100%. Brother Barnes's might be at 90%. Mine might be at 20%. But just because I get close to them and I go from their power to his power to her power to his power doesn't mean I get recharged. Going from strength to strength does not give you strength. Expending your strength and plugging back into the power source is where you get recharged. I might get a little extra charge, like one of those phones that you pass over and it jump charges each other. I don't know how that stuff works. Way beyond me. Doesn't matter to me. I might get a little extra surge to help me for a little while, but it doesn't charge me all the way. God says you go from strength to strength to strength. What's that mean? You better plug into strong, empty the battery. Plug it in, make it strong, empty it out. And you're going from strength to empty to strength. I've said this before. You go to the car lot, buy a new car. They fill it up with gas. When it runs out of gas, you don't go buy a new car. You say, why? Well, if you can, God bless you. Just make sure you tithe. But I don't just go buy a new car because I ran out of gas. What do? You go to the gas station and fill it back up and bring it back to full strength. Your life is much the same. You don't throw it away because it's out of gas. You fill it back up and reuse it and bring it back to full strength. God is the one who gives us our strength. He is the power source. Turn to Psalm 29. We're going to turn through several scriptures here. Psalm 29. Boy, I need you to hurry. I'm going to race through these. You might want to mark them down because I'm going to read them as I get there. Psalm 29 verse 11 says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." He gives strength to his people and he gives them peace. Peace is not tranquility. Peace is victory in war. Peace is the end result of battle. God says, I'll give you strength for the battle and I'll give you peace at the end of the battle by the strength you got to do the battle. Boy, that's a good statement. Psalm 46, verse number 1. I could preach a whole sermon on each one of these points. I'm not going to. Psalm 46, verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You don't get the strength unless you go through the trouble. Some of you go through the trouble and hook into other people and other sources. The pill bottle doesn't give you strength. Geritol doesn't give you strength. I hate to disappoint you. Now, it may help you, but you've got to expend energy for it to work. You can take all the vitamins in the world, but if you don't do something, it doesn't give you strength. So, Psalm 29, verse 11 says he gives peace. Psalm 46, 1 says you get strength by going through trouble. Psalm 68, just a few pages over. Psalm 68, verse 34. Psalm 68, verse 34. The Bible says this. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over all Israel. His strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. This literally means he gives you strength in the face of evil opposition of evil powers and evil governments. Did you know society today can wear you down? The foolishness of evil power can wear you down. I get a little weary of Nancy Pelosi. She's not the president of the United States. Time to shut her fat mouth up and put herself in her place. She does not run this country. She does not hold all power. Neither does Mitch McConnell, nor does any other congressman or senator. And by the way, the president doesn't hold all power either. And he knows that. He knows what his powers are. It's time that we quit fighting for power and run our country the way it's supposed to run. Everybody's in a power struggle. No, let's just do what our job is to do. Everybody doing okay? Boy, I have a lot to say right there, but I'm not going to. But Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, the Bible says this in verse number 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but the destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. May I say this? Right there is your strength. The way of the Lord is the Bible. And when you do what God says, as he says do it, guess what? You get strength. I can't tell you how many times I feel like giving up. I can't tell you how many times I feel like saying, I'm done. But I get in my Bible and say, but I'm going to do it your way. It wears me down. And he says, it's because you're trying to do it in your strength. Let me do it in my strength. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't real excited about going to the county on Monday morning. I don't like to fight. My son will tell you this. As I put my hand on the doors to open up the door to go into the building, I stopped on the sidewalk. I looked at him. I put my head down. I said, Holy Spirit, please help us. Help me not to do this in the flesh. And I opened up the door. Say, why? Because my flesh wanted to do something different. It really did. We sat down in the meeting. And there were 1, 2, 3 officials there. They were humble. They were meek. They were almost apologetic. They were willing to work with us and help us any way they could. And I had sitting in my notebook an outline of how I was going to approach this meeting. And 4 out of the first 5 points I didn't even get to go through because we had already been there because of their attitude. Brother Mike, I got to do the last thing. That was it. And it wasn't a bad thing. They asked us to do 3 things. We walked out and I said, that was too easy. He said, thank God helped us, Dad. I said, God did help us. Because God knew the preacher wanted to be in the flesh. But I'm glad I did it his way. And by the way, I have flesh like you have. Just so you know. But when you do it the Bible way, God has a way of giving you strength. Psalm 31:10, I don't have time to turn there. Well, let's take time. Psalm 31, verse number 10. I think this is an important one that you need to see. Psalm 31:10, for my life is spent with grief. That word spent means used up. How many of you have ever laid down at night and your whole body was just spent? Y'all know what I'm talking about? The Bible says in verse 10, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of my iniquity, my bones are consumed. I want you to notice something. It says my life is spent with grief. Some of us allow grieving to consume us and wear us out where we don't get ourselves recharged. We allow it to consume us. It spends our energy. By the way, I understand grieving. I understand hurting. But a lot of it is because we practice and we stay groveling in it rather than find strength from it. Psalm 38, look at verse number 10. Psalm 38, verse number 10. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. In other words, my heart panteth, it's talking about someone who runs. Someone who has run away. Did you know that running and hiding from your problems doesn't give you strength for your problems? I don't want to. I really have not heard anybody say this. So if this is you, don't tell everybody. But it's like the person who goes, I'll use a teenager. It's like the teenager who's told to go clean their room. And they open the door and go, I don't see anything that needs cleaned. Just because you close your eyes to it doesn't mean that it doesn't need done. Well, I'll do it another day. And that another day never comes. And then it's worse. And then it looks like the Iraqi war was just fought in your room. Running away and hiding does not give you strength. Well, I'm just going to run and hide and I'm going to get my strength. You don't get strength from running and hiding. You use up strength on something that does not help you. The running and hiding took more strength than facing what you had to face. Everybody doing okay? Most people waste their energy on running and hiding instead of battling what is before them. Because may I say this, eventually you have to face what you ran away from. And you now have farther to go and more emotions to battle because you did not face it when you should have faced it. I didn't say it. God did. But I want to help you. People are plugging into the wrong source. Psalm 71, look at verse number 9. Those of us with white hair, this is for you. Notice I said us. Psalm 71, verse number 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Just because you're old doesn't mean that you can't be strong. Now, you might not be able to get up and run 5 miles and do 100 push-ups and 300 sit-ups. You might not go as fast as you used to go, but you can be strong in your old age. You may not be physically strong, but you can be emotionally strong. You can be spiritually strong. If you went to Ecclesiastes, and we won't go there, to chapter 12, it talks about as we get older, we have to be careful. Things start breaking down. You start having fewer teeth, and the ones that you have don't work real well. You start trembling. Your eyes don't work like they used to work. You don't hear as well. Ah! You don't speak as loud. You get a little fearful. You know, there was a day where heights didn't bother you, but now getting up on a stool bothers you a little bit. Some of us have more to get on the stool, and that's why it bothers us. But, you know, working off the roof didn't bother you before, but you take a few extra precautions than you used to take. The fall doesn't bother you, but when you hit the bottom, it sure takes longer to recover from. You don't bounce like you used to, you thud a little harder. God says just because you're old and your strength fails doesn't mean God can't give you strength. There's a lot of wisdom in those years, in that white head or bald head. And may I say this, it's time to teach another generation how to use what you know. I think one of the things that President Trump has done that is helping our country is he's bringing industry back. I foresee the day when we revive some of the tech schools and the apprentice programs. One of the things America is, there's a generation, my son's generation doesn't know what an apprentice program is. And that's sad. There was a day where young people went to a school and they went to school for class hours for a little while, and then they actually went into a trade area, an industry, worked side by side with a skilled tradesman to not only get book knowledge, but get practical knowledge and learn how to transfer what was in a page to reality. That's called an apprentice program. You say, well, that's dirty and grunt work. That's not book. Okay, there's more to life than a book. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot I want to say right there, but I got to quit. Number three, and I've got to be done with this point. In other words, to be strong, we must consistently use strength and become weak in order to recharge our strength to get weak again. Did you know that at 11 o'clock at night, I don't have the energy I have right now usually? Now, I may someday be preaching at 11 o'clock at night, but it's going to take me longer to recover from it. I remember preaching out on the West Coast. I would fly out and preach in Washington State, preach in Seattle. Well, Seattle's 3 hours behind. If you get up at 4:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, get ready, be at the airport by 6, and then you check in and, you know, you got to do all the things you got to do. Your flight finally takes off 7:30. And then you'll fly from here to Chicago or Denver or Atlanta or San Antonio or Minneapolis or somewhere, or Denver, somewhere here in between, land, change planes, get on another plane, go through that whole routine again, finally end up in Seattle. You left your house at 4 o'clock in the morning your time. It's 1 o'clock in the morning Seattle time. You finally land about noon, but your body tells you it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You hadn't even had breakfast yet. You haven't had lunch yet. They'll say, how about lunch? How about it? Here we go. I'm ready to eat north end of a southbound skunk. Some of you will catch that one by slow freight. Think through it and you'll get it. Yeah, that's the business end of the skunk, amen? You're hungry enough, you don't care. Then you get settled in a hotel, and then the pastor wants you to make visits with them, and you make visits for a couple hours. You go back to your hotel, change your clothes, freshen up. Then you're going to go to dinner. Then you're going to preach. You get done preaching. You start church at 7 o'clock. Get done with the church service 8:30, 9 o'clock. Get back to the hotel by about 9, 9:30, and realize it's 12:30, and you've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning. And you wonder why, man, I'm really tired right now. Get up, preach in the morning, preach two sermons in the morning, counsel, go to lunch, preach one sermon in the afternoon, go back, do some work with the office, call back to the church, get church work done, eat dinner, go to church that night, preach again, and get back. Then you got to get up at early morning because you got to take a red-eye flight in order to get back for Wednesday night church. So you got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning their time to get to the airport at 6 o'clock to get back here. And you don't even know what time frame you're in. You don't know which way's up, down, or any other direction. I've done that too many times. It's not even funny. You say, how do you do that, preacher? God gives you strength. You expend the energy, God recharges it. You expend the energy, God recharges it. You expend the energy, God recharges it. Here's what happens, though. Most of you expend the energy, and then you think you're going to die. No, you get it charged back up, keep on going. Your schedule is what will keep you going. Wisdom teaches you not to waste your strength. Turn to Proverbs. I'm going to take you to two verses here. I'm going to teach you something. You young people need to listen. You older people know the trick. Some of you need to learn it better. Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse number 29. The glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is the gray head. Did you ever watch teen boys? Something happens about the time they hit sixth grade. They think they're growing. They've got to see if they can touch the frame of the door. So they're jumping. And, man, I'm getting tall enough, I can hit the top of the door. So? Try it in here. Those are 8-foot doors, not 7-foot doors. Yeah, you're going to have to jump a little higher. Then they hit about eighth grade. In the one morning they wake up and they're taking a shower and they look in the mirror and they found one hair on their chest. they got to go to school and show everybody that one hair on their chest. Whereas my dad said, he said, let me see it. Pow! Okay, it goes two more years till you get another one. No. then something happens. They start seeing, every once in a while, they see a little dark hair on their lip. Man, they think they're getting a mustache. You know, they're cool. Really is all it was, is they didn't wipe their mouth after they drank last night and just crushed it over. But then they start getting a little bit bigger. They think they're starting to grow a muscle. That's all it is a grape inside a straw, but they got a muscle. And on they go. You say, what is it? Because a young man wants to prove how strong he is. Even a boy. You tell him, pick something up. Oh, it's too heavy. No, you can pick it up. Let me see how strong you are. Yeah, we breed it into them. It's great. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. Can I tell you something? There comes a day when your body doesn't do what it used to do. And you have to start using wisdom or you're going to be down. Someone gave my wife and my daughter a piano this week. Have you ever moved a piano?
Yes, sir.
Those of you that are nodding your head know exactly what I'm talking about. I didn't say, I'm going to go put it on my truck myself, Brother Mike. I didn't even say, hey, Brother Josh, you and I are going to go pick up a piano and put it in the back of my truck on Monday. Say, why? Because I know the old man isn't able to carry the load he did when I was his age. Now, if I had two 25-year-olds or two 28-year-olds there, we might have tried it. But I'm thinking, I got a bad hip. I've blown two discs in my back. I don't have any cartilage left in that knee. I'm 52 years old. I'm fat and out of shape. I am not doing that, Brother Mike. So what'd you do? I got Brother Joe Lopez and I got Brother Sam to help me. Brother Joe and I were the old fogies. We let Sam and Josh grab into that thing and they carried it. We supervised. We steadied it, amen. We grabbed into it when necessary, but only when necessary. I watched Brother Sam here. I thought, he said, it's okay, preacher, you guys can get the other end. You know, 3-1. Forget it, man. The door's not wide enough to get one, let alone three guys through it. We got it out. Sam picks that thing up, puts it on the bed of my truck, and it's like this, you know. I said, okay, Brother Joe, you get up here. We're going to let Brother Josh and Brother Sam pick up the other end, and we'll just slide it in. You say, why? Because I'm not picking that thing up. I got better sense than that. I got to be able to walk the rest of the week. You say, what is that?
Wisdom.
Wisdom says, you better know what your limits are because you got to keep going. I didn't need to be laying in bed going, for all week. I had to help people all week. Wisdom isn't always what you can do, but what you can get done, even though it's not you doing it. That's a good statement right there. Some of us need to realize what our limits are. But may I say this, I did not do it. I was out there with them doing it. I didn't say, just go get it done. Learn to prioritize what to use your strength on and not what to waste your strength on. There's something I have learned. Wisdom teaches us what not to waste energy thinking about. Now everybody look at me for a second. I don't use up emotion. I don't use up energy. I don't use up think time on things I have no control over. It's one reason I don't listen to a lot of news. I would use up a lot of energy and anger that I should not use. I would use up a lot of, well, if I were in that position, I would. Some of you have it all planned out because you've spent so much time on that. But let's go through your house and find out what didn't get done this week and find out why you wasted the energy on things that you cannot change. we're coming up on an anniversary date of both of my dad's parents going to heaven. I know what day it is in January. They died 364 days apart. May I say something? I thank God for the heritage I have, but I'm not going to sit there and cry all day long. Do I miss them? Yes. Do I miss Grandma? I do. My dad and Mom will laugh at this. I even miss Grandma singing. Now, I've heard people hit a tin can that sounded better than Grandma singing. Grandma couldn't hold a tune in a bucket with a handle and a pitchfork. She really couldn't. I love her to death. Did she tell you that? But I was thinking about her one day this week, and I could hear her singing. And I kind of miss it. I miss Grandpa. There's things about my grandfather I miss. But can I tell you something? I thank God for my heritage. I miss my other grandmother and my other grandfather. I miss Brother Hiles. I miss a lot of people that have gone on before. Believe me. I told Brother Josh a couple weeks ago, I said, man, there are days I wish I had about 5 more minutes with Brother Hiles. But if he ever shows up, I'm gone. He's been dead for 18 years. I am not going to talk to him right now. I'm going to check myself in at the hospital because something's wrong. You see, let's put it down to where we live. We should put time into our work. Yes. Some of us put more time into our play and our video games, stay up late, and then when we go to work, we don't perform like we should at work, and we've wasted time on video games instead of work. We've wasted time on video games instead of our wife and our children. We've wasted time on doing things that mean nothing instead of investing our time and our energy and our strength into that which would reproduce and recharge. Boy, that's a good statement. There are churches who will not have Sunday evening service. They'll have a Super Bowl party. They'll not have preaching that night, but they'll have a Super Bowl party and sit there and watch a stupid football game, bunch of guys in spandex wrestling each other like a bunch of hogs in the pasture. I'm not against football, but we are not canceling church to watch football. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives for let a bunch of professional athletes who live like a bunch of whoremongers take the place of the preaching of the Word of God. Everybody doing okay? And I like sports. Josh and I are going to watch the LSU Clemson game tomorrow night. He's for LSU. I'm an Ohio State fan. I'm pulling for Clemson. You say, pulling for Clemson? Yeah, because if Clemson wins, it means we would beat LSU too, like I told him. I like good competition. But may I say something? It's not going to stop me from doing my work. If somebody calls and says, preacher, I need you, I'm turning the stupid TV off. I'm gone. Boom, you can watch it. I'm leaving. I'm out the door. Wouldn't hurt me a bit. Wouldn't bother me at all. I could turn off, go to bed, not even think about it. Say, why? It's a stupid game. I'm not going to waste energy on something that I need for the next day. If I had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm not watching a stupid game. I'll go to bed. You can watch it, turn it off, and lock the door on your way out, but I'm not doing it. I'm not going to waste energy on things that are non-productive, that are going to zap my energy to keep me from doing God's work. Everybody doing okay? Some of us waste so much energy emotionally on things that do not matter. God does not need to give strength to those who have it. He can only give strength to those who have used up their strength. If you are strong, he does not give you strength. He waits till your strength is empty and he renews it. Everybody doing okay? But may I say this? The more you do, the more strength you get. The more strength you use, the more strength you get. Here's the problem. So many of us are afraid to use our strength, or we use it on the wrong thing, and then it takes us longer to recharge. It doesn't take me long to recharge. It really doesn't. Now, I realize I got a quick charge battery. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, man, it doesn't take me long to recover. I can get hit with news, and here we go. I've been hit with bad news this morning. It's okay. On we go. I got hit with bad news yesterday. It's okay. Here we go. I also get hit with good news every day. Everybody doing all right? See, God only gives you strength after you've used it. In other words, I must use up my strength and say, please fill it. And fill it up. There are times I feel like I'm on E. And I have much more left to do. And I run to my God and I say, I need your strength. Oh God, would you help me? Those of you that were here Christmas night, oh, did I need God's strength. I had the flu. I was feeling horrible. We had visitors here. I was hiding in my office because I didn't want to give anybody what I had. Because I knew what was coming. I walked out of my office, walked back here, was with Brother Josh. I said, son, I am sick. I think I'm going to make it through the night. But if I run off the platform, just pick up and keep on going. I said, change sermons. You can keep my outline. I don't care what you do, but you finish it out. I got up here. I taught a Bible study. Honestly, I'd have to listen to it to know all I said, because all I was thinking was, please keep swallowing hard and keep it down. Swallow hard and keep it down. You're looking at a man that fights throwing up more than any human being alive. I got done speaking. The invitation was being played, and I leaned over to him and said, you're going to close this thing out. I got to run. I said, folks, he's going to close it out. I'm sick. I'm leaving. See you later. I walked out that door, walked down, got in my vehicle, drove home, changed clothes, went to the washroom, and I gave a heave offering. I haven't been that sick in over 20 years. Then the fever hit and the aches hit. By the time my wife got home, I was covered in blankets, sitting there going, hurting like I'll get out. Feeling like I had not felt in a long time. Now, it took me another day or so to recover, but I got through it, amen? I kept saying, God, it's okay, but I got to be strong for Sunday. I got to be there. My people need me. Your people need me. You got to get me strong. Made it through Sunday. Now, I'll be honest with you, it took a little more energy, but he kept recharging. You got to expend that energy so that God can recharge. Who you plug into is important. Plugging into Hollywood isn't going to help you. Plugging into the doctor isn't always going to help you. Plugging into all the modern stuff isn't going to help you. You need God. He's the source of all power. He is the power plant. He's not just the plug in the wall. He's the power plant. How about we plug into the right thing? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Tired of being weak. Tired of having no strength. Tired of being faint. How about we use our strength? We wait upon the Lord and he'll renew it. How about you just come to an old-fashioned altar and let God renew it? How about you go to his word every day and help him renew it? Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. You may put them down. The word of God is there. Prayer is there. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. He will give you strength. You can borrow his strength. If you've never been saved, and you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to this altar. We'll help you today. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we'd love to have you. No apologies. We're an old-fashioned, independent, soul-winning Baptist church, but we'd love to have you. As